Good morning, everybody. This is Katie Lear. I am your convention committee chair. This is First Aid, sponsored by Project Insight. We are honored to have some wonderful guests with us today that are going to teach us how to take care of ourselves because it's very important. I fell twice already this morning, so I obviously need some help.
Oh, no.
So we want to thank ACB Media for the wonderful help with our Zoom rooms. They've donated this one here for ACB Audio. We have the one down the hall with the other presentations for the media. Welcome everyone on Zoom. Welcome everybody that's also going to be on our podcasts. Like to thank our monitor, Cecily. She's our room opener. Our host is Natalie Couch. And John Richards mans our Zoom board in here. So he keeps us in line here. I'd like to introduce you to our Project Insight president, Miss Nancy Folsom, who's going to take the meeting over from here. Oh. Yay, Nancy!
Here's one. Okay. Thank you. Here you go.
And we should have microphones up there. And you guys, if we have questions or concerns, if people in the room want to ask questions, please make sure you talk in the microphone so that people on the Zoom can hear. And Natalie, you're going to give us a 10-minute warning when we get close to the top of the hour.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming. My name's Nancy Folsom, and I'm the chair of Project Insight. And we thought it would be fun to talk about first aid tips for people who are visually impaired or blind, because, you know, if you can't see how much blood's coming out or whatever, I don't know what all they're going to cover. I'm not going to steal their thunder. But we have Margaret Mosier, who is Paul Edwards' daughter. But we won't hold that against her, right?
I'm trying not to hold it against myself.
And her colleague, Dr. Stella Hayes. And I know they're going to do an exciting job, and I'm going to go ahead and turn the microphone over to them so that we don't run out of time, and we will let them have it.
All right. Thank you. All right. So welcome. Thank you guys for coming. So we were just talking, and Dr. Hayes was suggesting that maybe we could all try to come up close to the front, because we may have some little interactive things that we could do to sort of show you guys how to wrap things and do things, so that way we can get a little bit more hands-on, if you guys are willing to submit to that. Hang on, she's trying to coax. She can be very persuasive.
Okay, so
here, Jeannie, are you okay coming next to my dad over here? Oh, no, Stella just took that chair. Hang on, let me have you go. Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, come on over here.
You want to come over?
Yeah. Sorry, I can't get my key.
There is a chair also to your right.
Okay.
There, Nancy, and you can kind of sit next to Jeannie. All right. So we were just going to kind of talk about some general first aid things, but if you guys have any questions or any particular areas of concern, then we, you know, feel free to share those. Where would you like to start?
Right. Well, the brave people who have come up front, I was thinking of assigning you each an injury.
Oh, I've already been assigned one.
Yeah, some people came.
Save you. Oh, the two have come with their own injuries.
We didn't even put that as a prerequisite.
Yeah. Yes. So Mikey's got his left foot in a walking boot, so to speak. So that's an interesting apparatus that helps your ankle heal from whatever's going on.
Can you turn on the microphone, please?
I was just admiring Anki's. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Mikey's walking boot that he's got, an ankle brace that slides on with Velcro. Mikey, would you mind taking that off?
Absolutely.
We're going to pass it around. So you'll hear the Velcro.
Listen to my mother. Did you wash your feet?
Yeah, this is it. So this immobilizes the foot and ankle and still allows you to walk. So that's a pretty swift thing without having to use crutches or whatnot. It can't be used for all foot and ankle injuries, but for a good portion of them. Some things to notice about this are the rounded bottom that kind of lets you roll forward. So Margaret's going to pass that around for people to feel. It's got a some of you are personally familiar with such a device, unfortunately. Yeah.
It's a walking boot or a brace. So for like a foot fracture that you can weight bear on,
that kind of stabilizes things. Oh, sorry. That stabilizes it but still allows you to walk. And then there's some Velcro up here. So this one goes up to your calf, the kind of the top of your calf.
Yeah, this one's quite large. You know, it wouldn't even fit on a shorter person because it'd come up to your knee and interfere with your knee bending.
That's like an ankle boot.
Okay. Yeah. But Mikey's got a nice long lower leg, and it just fits him perfectly.
Very pretty. Oh,
shut up. Yeah.
I have a funny story about one of those boots.
Uh-oh. We have a funny story about a boot. Here it goes.
I broke my ankle about a year ago, so had to be in one of those. I couldn't fit dress pants over them to go to work, so I got to go to work in shorts for like 2 months.
Sweet. I had a similar thing where skirts work very well. And, you know, these days, anybody can wear a skirt.
No one wants to see me. I'll try that tomorrow.
Please don't.
Unloader.
Oh. So we have another, even more interesting and unusual device. It's called a knee immobilizer.
No, this one
mobile. Oh, well, knee unloader.
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay. Yes, so this device is very high-tech.
It's a pivoting knee brace.
Okay, pivoting knee brace. So we're going to pass that around, and you can imagine, you can see how it attached to the thigh and the lower leg, and the pivoting part goes where your knee is. On purpose, yeah. The purpose is to keep the knee bending in just one plane, one direction. You want your knee to bend in the normal way, and you don't want your knee to bend in the not normal way, like sideways. But if you've torn a ligament in your knee or injured your knee somehow, then your knee may be unstable and wobbly, and this helps stabilize it. It's sort of like a replacement for, in this case, the lateral collateral ligament. Your knees have two collateral ligaments, one on each side, that are, you know, if they're intact and strong, they keep your knee from going out to the side or into the middle. But if you've torn one of those or there's some other injuries you might want a knee stabilizer for, this could sort of act to replace one or even both of those ligaments. There's a similar device that's very similar in that it's got, you know, the same hinge type of thing, but it's a little bit more advanced in that you can dial in how much you want it to bend. That's what knee immobilizers are like. They're very much like that, but when you first put them on, if you don't want any bend at all, you just set the pivoting point to be only straight, and it won't let somebody bend their knee. As you can imagine, that's very hard to deal with, getting into cars and whatnot. But it's actually quite helpful for walking, if you, even with, you know, more serious knee injuries, because if you can keep that knee straight, you're not really stressing any of the ligaments or tendons in your knee. You're just letting your bones bear your weight. And then those knee immobilizers, you can start getting mobility back in your knee gradually by just setting the pivot point to allow maybe 10 degrees of flexion or 20 degrees of flexion or 90 degrees of, you know, and going on up. Because we've learned that with all joint injuries, early mobilization is key. So I think that's best illustrated with ankle injuries. It used to be that, you know, if somebody got a bad sprain on their ankle, they might get a cast or something pretty serious as far as immobilizing their foot. And then we realized, wow, this is causing more problems than it's solving by, you know, immobilizing these ankles too long, too hard and too long. So with most ankle sprains, even, you know, even the more serious ones, they want you to try to move that ankle. The question is, do we sleep with the
knee immobilizer?
With the knee immobilizer. Generally not with an immobilizer. This, what we passed around was called a, what's it called?
I have no idea.
A pivoting knee stabilizer.
Yeah.
And do you sleep with that, ma'am?
No. Well, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. It really depends how the legs.
More when you're weight bearing.
Yeah.
So more when you're up and walking for that particular for that particular one.
I can imagine at some point, though, if you get a big twinge at night and your knee's just, like, bent the wrong way or something, you might want to put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I call my doctor.
Michael.
All right.
So do we want to start with ankles or do we want to go to cuts?
Let's do one more joint.
Okay.
Who wants a broken wrist?
There you go. All right.
We have a volunteer for a sprained.
Only as long as
sprained
it's
or broken. All right. I'm going to put this ace bandage on Nancy's wrist because she has an imaginary sprain. Other reasons I might want to immobilize her wrist are maybe she's got a bad burn on the back of her hand and wrist, or a cut, or a surgical, you know, incision. Maybe I just took a cyst out of there and sewed it closed. I'd want that wrist immobilized for a while for the skin to heal. Because that really helps speed wound healing to, you know, try to immobilize the wound. So with the ace bandage, I'm going to start rolling so that I'm unrolling the ace bandage as I go around, just to make my life easier and to get it applied a little bit tighter. Usually start at the forearm to get a good grip on the arm, and then you can go around the hand. A nice little trick when you come through the hand is to twist the bandage to give a smaller, you know.
Kind of get around the thumb.
She went around my thumb.
Yeah, get around the thumb. If you twist it, it'll make it smaller and easier to get through the thumb.
So she went. So she is wrapping it around my, like, between my thumb and my fingers. Yeah. So it's keeping my hand still.
And, yeah, so the newer ace bandages, this one's not a newer one. The newer ones, let me fasten that. The newer ones have Velcro that, you know, will stick to itself.
Sometimes.
Makes it real easy. Yeah. I've got these old-fashioned clips that you have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
That you have to.
Yeah. If you want to walk around a little bit, if you're okay with that.
Let me put one more clip on it, Nancy.
Walk around, and then maybe I can do another one.
I'll go.
Okay.
All right. Our next volunteer, what kind of injury does she have, Margaret?
I think she was shooting for a wrist injury, but we could...
Also a wrist injury.
Let's do her wrist, and then we could do her ankle.
She's got a left-handed wrist injury.
I had an ankle injury when I was in the sixth grade.
Did you have to have it wrapped?
My finger. At one point, and then a cast.
Oh, okay.
So the same boot he had.
Okay.
Had a boot like that, so I understand. I understood where you're coming from.
So same thing. So we go around the wrist, and there's a little tension on the bandage, and then we go around. Nancy, we could kind of walk you around if you'd like to be our roving demonstration, and then same thing.
You have one good hand. Why don't you hold it?
You want to hold it?
No worries. I got it.
And then same thing. So we twist that to go between your thumb, and then you can continue to wrap. Going around. There are no awards. Just so you know, Nancy, there are no acting awards.
Yes, there are.
The door prizes have already been given.
And for those on Zoom, the color of the bandage is a reddish bandage.
It's a bright neon orange bandage.
Oh, good. Maybe we can see it then.
Yeah. And this one was gotten where I get a lot of my medical supplies at the Dollar Tree. So there is...
So you're supposed to be able to put this on yourself? Is that what you're...
You can, and so if you need to secure it, it comes... I'll pass around these little clips, but it sort of has... Be careful, because they can be sharp on the end.
Like.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But like Dr. Hayes was saying, some of them have Velcro on there, so they just kind of stick to it once you wrap it around the last time. It does really stick. Or you can use tape. Yeah, just any kind of tape. But then, or a safety pin, but I would probably do tape before I would do a safety pin.
Thank you. Okay, well, I really appreciate the participation from the audience. I think you guys are ready for a serious life-threatening injury. I see a particular young man in the second row that might have mangled his hand, or it might even be pretty much cut off and hanging by... You know, his hand may just be hanging by a thread of skin.
It is gory.
It's gory. There's blood pulsing out, and it looks like a murder scene. And what do you have to say about this injury of yours?
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah,
one more over to the right.
Sorry.
What was
sorry, you
so that's just stuck
your hand in that machine.
Say, like,
wow.
Okay.
Well, don't worry, because I'm going to save you. If you so agree.
Exactly.
So a wound like that, you know, with serious bleeding that you can hear. If you can hear the bleeding, you know it's bad. If you're hearing dripping, yeah. So with brisk bleeding, we call it, you want to apply pressure, first and foremost. With most injuries on the extremities, you can stop the bleeding with enough pressure. And the general rule is if the bleeding isn't stopped, it's because you're not pushing hard enough. You got to...
As much on the wound as you can. So if you can kind of get your hand over the wound with a clean towel or even just your hand itself, just put pressure as hard as you can to stop that bleeding.
And elevation. The higher the wound is above your heart, the less pressure it's going to have, especially in the veins.
Differently than others.
Yeah.
True.
Longer.
Yep. Yeah, and so many people are on blood thinners.
Well, Lewis brought an injury with him, too.
Well, does it need a tourniquet?
No.
Darn, because I've got a tourniquet in my hand. And I'm itching to use it.
Well, you could use it on me if you like.
That would
be suggested by some people, but my doctor says just go with the surgical shoe.
Oh, for your injury, the doctor...
I have a broken foot. Oh, broken foot.
Yeah, yeah. And I see that you're in a just a stiff-toed shoe, basically, right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But I've had my fair share of catastrophic
injuries. Okay. You've had your share. Maybe he hasn't. This young man in the second row.
I sprained my left hand back in.
Can you say that again?
I sprained my left hand back in. That was when I was in primary school.
But you never cut it off?
No, it was simple. I thought it was broken because I actually heard when my bones popped.
Oh, that's not a good sound of bones popping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so back to stopping breast bleeding. Direct pressure right on those vessels that have been disrupted. They've been either cut, torn, or stretched to the point where they're just leaking out. That's what a bruise is, you know, where they're,
right,
you know, damaged, but it's not escaping the skin. So even pressure on a bump that you get that you think, oh, that's going to leave a mark. You think it's going to bruise. Putting a little pressure on it, you know, can kind of keep some of that blood coming out of those vessels. What pressure does is it keeps the blood from even coming into those vessels that are broken. And that's what you want to do. You don't want to just catch the blood that's coming out. That does no good other than keeping the carpet cleaner. You want to, you know, prevent this blood from even getting to the damaged part of the vessel. Tourniquets, they're good for, you know, very serious injuries like amputations or when, you know, if the hand, for example, is just mangled beyond, it's like, you know, you need pressure all over it. Well, a tourniquet just keeps, you know, blood from coming to the hand at all. And I carry them in my car just in the off event. Might need one on the side of the road with all these death vehicles zooming around at high speeds. Yes, we have a question in the back.
Can I see it? Can I see one?
Yeah. Here's the tourniquet. I'll talk about it a little bit more. So a tourniquet, I've got a professional one that makes it really easy to put on and take off. But you can make one out of a belt. You can make one out of a rope. You know, a rope is a pretty good one. And because what you want to do is tie it around as tight as you can. And then usually the trick with a rope is to put a stick. So if you're putting the rope... If you have to tourniquet somebody's arm, for example, you'd put the rope proximal to the wound. That means between the wound and the heart. You'd get a stick or a strong... A pencil would be too weak.
Yeah.
A metal bar would be good. You'd put the rope around the arm and the metal bar and tie it pretty tight. And then you'd twist the metal bar to get it tighter. So Margaret's going ahead and applying the tourniquet in the back row. So the professional tourniquet is sort of like a rope and a stick all in one. I've got a second one, actually. I'm going to open up. Actually, are you able to rip open this plastic?
And,
so what I tourniqueted my arm earlier just to make sure I still had the knack. It started turning blue.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be happy to tourniquet any of your arms. If you don't like your complexion. Right. Yeah. So how tight does this tourniquet need to be? It needs to be tight enough to stop the bleeding. So, somebody wants a tourniquet around somebody else's neck. Do you care to defend yourself, ma'am?
No.
No.
Nothing like a mother's love.
So as far as tourniqueting until the bleeding stops, sometimes that's going to be, if it's just venous bleeding, if just the veins are bleeding, the pressure in them is much lower than in the arteries, so you wouldn't need it all that tight. It'd be about as tight as you get when you get your blood drawn. Those are tourniquets that they put on your arm, and they do it just to stop the veins from returning the blood. If you're tourniqueting to stop bleeding, you generally have to tourniquet to the point where you're stopping the arteries. You're plugging the arteries. Yeah. Okay, we've got another brand new tourniquet here. And we have a volunteer. All right. Let me take this trash out of your hand. I'll take the pin so you can... Okay. But you're going to have to hold the pen and the microphone because it does take two hands to apply a tourniquet. At least it takes me two hands. Okay. And what's your name, ma'am?
Tia.
Tia.
Yes.
Tia has volunteered as the one with the terrible injury on her left hand. Maybe it's just been amputated. And I want to save her life because you can bleed to death from an amputated hand just like you can bleed to death if your artery somehow gets sliced and bleeds. So to save her life, we're going to put this around. And some of you have felt this already. It's just a Velcro belt that's a lot like any other straps. And this one, since the metal bar is on the outside, you can just go ahead and Velcro it down as tight as you can right away. Whereas if you had the old-fashioned kind with a rope and a stick, you'd have to... You don't want it really tight at first. You want it loose enough that you can get the stick under there and start twisting the stick. And then twisting the stick is how you get it tight. Similar here. Twisting the stick on this outside of this tourniquet is how I'm going to get it tight enough that I'm not going to be able to feel a pulse anymore. In Tia?
Mm-hmm.
Tia. So right now, Tia has a nice arterial pulse, and the radial pulse is nice and strong and easy to detect.
It is?
It is. Yeah, it's right here.
Oh, thank God.
But it won't be for long because here we go. And let me know if I'm hurting you, Tia. I'm just getting tired.
Ow.
Okay, if you can take just a little bit more, I can fasten it right about here.
Ow.
Okay, well, let me hold it there and see if it's...
Ow, ow, ow.
So I don't know. Oh, yeah.
I had a huge bruise on my leg from it.
That's tight enough. And as I loosen the stick, I can feel the pulse come back. So now I've got a pulse. Maybe you can kind of feel it in your hand.
Yes, I can feel it.
And about the owl region is where you don't. You're there, Tia. This is for the sake of learning. Okay. So I've just kind of gone a little bit beyond the owl point and set it. Now her hand is tourniqueted. If you were to cut her hand right now, it wouldn't bleed. You might get a little bit of a ooze. Mikey wants to try it, Tia. How far are you willing to go for the sake of teaching?
How much do you love
us?
Ow.
Okay. So I could, actually, and they do these for surgeries. They tourniquet a limb and they fix your joint. They put you under so you're not saying ow all the time. And then they let loose the tourniquet and get that blood flow back.
What? This is, this is not the exhibition hall.
So
but
we're going to just release this a little.
This is first
slowly,
aid.
There we go. Got that pulse back.
Patrick, you should be here because I know you have a little challenge, so you should be here.
I like that forceps. My son be nervous.
Oh my God, Pat. Wait, so my pulse is okay?
Your pulse is great.
Because I had
it has returned.
Yay. Because my heart was racing the other day. I'll tell you why off air, but
oh, okay.
My heart was racing. And I was speaking to my doctor even yesterday before heading off to Jacksonville, and she was asking if I have my inhaler, and I said yes. She was like, perfect. As long as you have your inhaler, you're good to go. But thank you for clarifying that. I feel great.
Great. Well, thank you for the use of your left hand and it, and the rest of you. Yeah, just a couple words about pulses, especially with Tia's introduction like that. It is very nice if you're able to take your own pulse somehow. So Tia's got a nice strong radial pulse. She might be able to feel it there.
Right here?
So the radial pulse is right next to the radial styloid, right there for you. Sometimes if, I'm going to just feel everybody's pulses here.
I have an irregular heartbeat, so.
Yeah. Sometimes when somebody has a pulse that's hard to feel, once we find it, we'll put an X on it with a Sharpie, but yours is right there.
Found it. Oh, okay. I feel it.
Yeah, so you've got one right here. I'm going to let Margaret yammer on while I feel people's pulses.
All right, perfect. I am going to talk about some more just kind of everyday things. So let's say you hurt yourself and your limb is not hanging off. So first thing is just general first aid. So the first thing you want to do is wash out the wound. So that can be, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It can be water. It can be saline. I'm going to pass around a couple of things again at my favorite place, the Dollar Tree, one of which is an irrigation bottle that you can buy. You can fill this with water. Sometimes just that little bit of pressure can help kind of clean out the wound a little bit. The other thing that I get sometimes that I keep in my own personal work bag is a little bottle of nasal saline, right? Just because it's nasal doesn't mean it has to go in the nose. And that's a very easy to use pre-mixed and sanitary way that you can just use that and squeeze that out. So I'm going to give this first bottle to Eugenie and you can kind of pass it along. That first one is that nasal irrigation bottle. And then this next one is the saline bottle. Here's that one. So the Dollar Tree is really a great place to kind of get a lot of basic first aid supplies. I have no stock. It is now the $1.25 tree. But and then Dr. Hayes, because she's very crafty, has another option that you can use. This one is a plain water bottle that my dad, it was taking his hydration lecture seriously this morning, just finished it. And then there's holes on the top. So she pierced some holes on the top. And if you turn it upside down, and I've got a little piece of gauze to kind of soak up any water, you can see how you can sort of squeeze that out, and it kind of cleans that. So that's a good kind of on the fly, if you haven't made it to the Dollar Tree yet, thing that you can do. See the top right there? It's got some holes in it. So when you turn it upside down, it'll squirt out like a little squirt bottle.
How do you make the hole?
This particular hole was made with a safety pin. You could use a nail. If you had a Mac Daddy set of earrings, you might even be able to use an earring. It's just plain water, and then it's a plain water bottle, but the trick is just the hole on the top of it so that when you go to clean out the wound, you can get a little bit more of a stream coming out. So when you squirt it. Here's that one, Dad, if you want to see what we've done to your water bottle.
I'll pass it on. Thank you.
All right. So just cleaning it. Obviously, like Dr. Hay said, if it's bleeding, you want to put a little bit of pressure on it. some triple antibiotic and just a Band-Aid is a good option. Again, the Dollar Tree has these ACE wraps, so if you need something, you can kind of put that, wrap it around with an ACE wrap to kind of secure the dressing. What else? I'm going to show you this. So this I don't always see, but this is like a cold pack. So it's like an instant cold pack. So if you bump something, bruise something, hurt your ankle, again, this is something you can kind of keep in your car. I'm going to pass it over here to Jeannie, and then let's see if we can squeeze it. I'm going to show that to you, and we can see if we can pop it, and it actually gets cold. So if you try to squeeze it, try to squeeze it hard. I'm not sure if that's going to... Sometimes you have to bang them on a table. If it comes to that, we'll do that up. He can do it. We got it. We got a challenge here. You mean? So this is what it feels like. I'll just pass it along like this then. This is what it feels like, kind of a before. Oh, I see. We're going to keep having a challenge till
somebody does it. My hands are strong.
I know. I think usually for me, I just put them on a table. Oh, now we're getting serious. He's coming up for the. See, I'm going to pass that to you, and then you can. But that's what it feels like. Hold on. Yeah, you can pop it.
Maybe.
So, like I said, it did come from the Dollar Tree.
The knee slap technique.
So, yeah, I usually like put it on a table or something, so it may come to that.
Or take it and smack it against your knee. Apparently.
Oh, there it goes.
I heard it.
No. Oh, you did hear?
It was me pretending.
Wow. This is a challenge. Oh. This is sure a challenge.
Come on.
All right.
You can do it.
You can do it. Let me see. It's not harder way to do it.
Work harder, not smarter.
Yeah. So kind of try to cover it with your palm.
Oh, okay.
And then smack it against your knee as hard as you can. Sitting down right.
Yes, Mr. Wiseman?
So while you're talking about like... prep stuff. Yes. What are your thoughts, or more, I hesitate to know what Dr. Hayes would say about this, but what are your thoughts on, have you seen advertised on TV the pharmacy grade doomsday prep kit with the antibiotics that you can self-diagnose depending on your symptoms? Have you seen that?
That channel is blocked in my house.
I hate you.
We don't get that channel.
Yes, I'm trying.
So in general, I don't recommend that. In a doomsday situation, perhaps. All right. Let's see. I've got... another, let me see if this is, that's not what I want. Sorry, I was trying to find our other little wrap, but here it is. So this stuff is also kind of fun. So if you have, say, a cut and you put like a little gauze pad on top of it, or you put something on top of it. This stuff you can wrap around and it sticks to itself. So it's really easy. Yeah, you don't have to rip the tape off. It's really easy to secure that, especially if you've got to dress your own wound. So,
yeah,
that's that. Yeah. So the brand name is Coban. This one is from the Dollar Tree.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But, and sometimes they come in different widths. This one is like an inch wide. But sometimes it comes in like 2 inches wide. But they're, yeah. But these are very, very useful for, here, Dad, you want to?
That's
my dad.
Whoa.
I'll pass this on.
And
is this from my favorite store?
It is from your favorite store. I know, right? So here, I'll pass this back here. There you go. So this is like some Coban. So if you have a more simple injury, but maybe it's a little bigger than a Band-Aid, so you're going to put like a gauze pad on top of it, and then you can wrap it with this to secure it. And it sticks to, here, I'll show you, kind of sticks to itself.
Right.
If you...
What they use when you give your skin.
Exactly, like when you get blood. Yep, exactly. Oh, any luck?
It's got a really clean. It's colder than it was.
It's colder?
Wow. Your hands are nice and warm.
Mike, I don't, something, no, I don't think she's going to give it to you.
Dr. Yeah. Did not have much to say.
Yeah, I would agree with her thoughts on that one. I mean, I guess maybe if it's doomsday. I wouldn't pre-pack for doomsday. All right. I don't know if you saw this. This is like that self-adhesive. Yeah.
My techs at the hospital.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Here, let me show you guys back here. So this is, so it kind of, so like if you were to put a gauze pad on and you could wrap it around, mm-hmm. and it will stick to itself. So it makes it really easy to kind of do it yourself.
Cool.
Yeah. And then you just sort of rip it off. See how it kind of holds that on there? Yeah.
Cool.
So.
I need that.
Yeah.
And that Colfix, you're supposed to squeeze it where the area was, supposed to squeeze it, and then you're supposed to shake it.
Oh, okay. Did you read the directions?
Yes. but it's a
when
little,
all else
but
fails.
But it's a little cool, but not cold.
It's not cold.
Yeah.
Hmm. What is that?
So this is Coban. So it, so like if you're trying to, like say you've got a cut on your hand,
uh-huh.
you would wrap it. So you put like some gauze on it, but then you need the gauze, something to stick to the gauze. So you kind of just wrap this around, and it sticks to itself.
Oh, okay.
So it holds, yeah, so it holds that on there.
Oh.
This one is called just a cold, just an instant cold pack. You could, most of the time after the injury, I would say you probably are going to do better with heat than with cold. So this is more, did we feel this pop?
I don't think
it popped.
Pop.
It did pop.
There we go. Oh, Margaret just.
Come on. Now. It's cold.
Now it is cold. I'll pack it this way and then pass it back.
Oh, now it is cold.
Are you popping the bag?
There's a bag inside the bag. So it's two chemicals that activate and then it... Right, exactly. I know it's 96 degrees outside. We should need a couple of these.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to pass this so you can feel it's gotten pretty cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are good because you can, if you don't have ice, you can... keep them with you, activate it, and then you can...
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
How did you finally get it to pop?
Magic. Apparently, I have a set of skills that a lot of people in here don't have. I think, I want to say it was the... I want to say it was the extra cutaneous tissue on my hip that really took care of business. So, just so you know, here, let me show you that. It can come in handy.
Are there expiration dates on all of us?
You know, there's expiration dates on all of us. So, let me see. Probably... this one, you know, if it expires and it works, it's fine because you're not putting this in anything. You're just using it as cold. So it's not going to go into the wound. It's going to, you're just going to use it as cold. What happens with these kind of products is when they expire, they don't work.
Right. Yeah, this is it.
But what about other things like antiseptics and things like that?
In general, they're going to expire about a year or so afterwards.
Repeat the question, dear one.
Expiration dates on like antibiotic ointments and things like that. I'm pretty liberal when it comes to that. So a couple of, you know, I would say a couple of years. I think technically usually the expiration date's about a year old. Most of the time, unless you have done something, so sometimes with those antibiotic creams, if we're getting them in an area and we've opened them, you know, bacteria could come in there, so that would be concerning. Yeah. If it's brand new, hasn't been opened, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Thank you.
If it's going in your eye or somewhere more sensitive, then I would have a different standard with that. All right. I don't know if you have anything else. We're a little short on time. Yes. Oh, the ankle. He is waiting for an ankle wrap. Yes.
I have a real life question. Yeah. And especially for someone like me who has some side, it fluctuates, some days it's better. What are really important things, like as we're going through our medical process, right? That we should, you know, we go to the dermatologist, right? But we'll go for one thing. But if we have something else going on, a lot of times we can't see the discoloration, or is there anything that we should actually be communicating? Yeah, that's a good, I mean, things that we need help talking to our physicians about, that we just say, hey, you know, I'm not able to self-check myself. You know, who do I need to go to, or how do I do that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think in those cases, I think, so first of all, from a dermatology standpoint, and we hadn't gotten to that, but Dr. Hayes brought her big sun hat, which is a great just protective thing, and sunscreen. So I think when we talk about skin, especially in Florida, anything we can do to just protect ourselves from the sun, even if we don't feel it, it's not a 96-degree day, the UV rays are there, and the damage tends to be cumulative, right? So as we get older, we sort of pay for our sins when we were younger. Mm-hmm. So good prevention, I think, is sort of the first thing. I think the second thing is an annual skin check. So again, remember that we live in Florida. If you have an area that is concerning, certainly communicate that, point that area out to the dermatologist, but don't let the dermatologist only address that area. So when you're scheduling those appointments, tell them that you want an annual kind of head-to-toe skin check. Yes? Okay. Yes?
Because of my past, a teenager and red hair, I got sunburn every year. Well, 2 years ago, I had skin cancer on my face, but I have to go to my dermatologist every 6 months, and I ask for a body search, and they will do a body search.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's good. That's good advice. Just reminding the dermatologist that even if you're coming in because this one area is not right, you want a full body check. What else? And you're correct too. So annual is just a good rule of thumb, but if you have found things, if you've had things removed, very often the dermatologist would want you to come back sooner than that. Yeah.
I just want to interrupt and let you guys know it's 9 minutes till the top of the hour.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. As far as things like blood in your stool, sometimes blood in your urine, things like that, I do think having that relationship with a primary care doctor so that they know, guess what, I'm not going to necessarily be able to identify that. So if it's something that you're really concerned about, we're going to need to be doing some other tests for it. Sometimes they can talk to you about things like stool consistency that may change as you have, you know, blood in it. It may get tarrier. You may notice a difference in your bowel pattern, any of those things. I do think that just being more mindful of that. And again, when the doctor asks those questions, reminding them, hey, guess what? I can't tell you reliably if I'm seeing, you know, blood in my stool, blood in my urine. So we're going to have to focus on these other symptoms. What else? So I'm going to pass around. So what we have is kind of a starter first aid kit, again, from my favorite place. So we're going to pass that around. And then Dr. Hayes and I have put together just a general list of things that are good ideas to have in a first aid kit. So if you guys want that, we can kind of go through that really quickly. Yes. And then if you guys want that list, we can get it as a PDF and I can give it to Nancy and she'll tell me what to, you know, how to, where to go with that. So just a good triple antibiotic ointment. Again, it can come from Dollar Tree, anything like that, any just kind of general antibiotic ointment. Sometimes for like burns, the antibiotic ointment is good. We didn't talk about burns very much. If you burn yourself, cold water initially. It might feel better temporarily if you put ice on it. We really don't want to put ice on it because it's not good for the tissue, but cold water is fine. If you're of a generation whose parents told you to put butter on that, do not abandon those memories. Do not put butter on it. You can put aloe on it. You can put, again, like a triple antibiotic ointment on it. You want to just protect it a little bit. There is also some lidocaine gel or lidocaine spray, like a sunburn spray or a lidocaine gel that you can also put on that can be helpful in alleviating the pain. We talked about like the squirt bottle, spray bottle, Band-Aids. The Coban, the ankle wrap, that's right, yeah, the ACE wrap. We also talked about, we didn't talk about the fact that you can cut up like socks. So just use that sort of ring part of the sock sometimes, and those can help hold dressings on or cream on or something like that. Some gauze, just some good rolled gauze. I'm trying to find my little stash so I can pass that around. So there's gauze pads, but then there's also kind of gauze that comes in a roll. So if you have a bigger injury, again, you can kind of wrap that around there. Gloves if you need that. Clean rags, scissors, alcohol pads. If we're getting serious, we could talk about the tourniquets. Or I don't know if we passed around this triangle bandage or a belt or things like that you can use as a tourniquet at home. Or a sling. I think we're about out of time. And some scissors. So anybody else have any questions? Anything else I need to talk about?
I have a comment.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, your comment first.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, my comment was before the question that was asked about if you have a little bit of vision and you're not sure about something, what I do is take a picture. Mm-hmm. Like if a rash or something like that, you're not sure how bad it is, I'll take a picture and then show it to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, to see, you know, how bad it is.
I think that's a great, I think that's a great plan.
Okay, I stole the microphone. Does anybody else have any comments or questions? I just want to thank you ladies for coming. Thank you so much. This has been very interesting. Thank you. And thank you to our Zoom operators, John Richardson and Natalie also. Thank you so much. And thank y'all for coming. I hope you enjoyed it and learned something.